Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Chuck Shaden with Recollections at 50. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we tune in to a few nostalgic moments from a half century of Those Were the Days programs. We begin with a short segment with Bob Kolasowski, our resident film historian, who's been a regular with us since 1979 and continues to bring listeners his expert knowledge of the movies. Here's something from 1987, when he helped us devote an entire program to the talented Danny Kaye.
I know Bob Kolasowski, who is with us in the studio this afternoon, is a big fan of Danny Kaye's. Bob, once again, we're delighted to have you with us.
Hello, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Danny Kaye, would you say that he qualified as being a superstar, super entertainer?
Oh, definitely. Definitely a super entertainer. He did a little bit of everything. He did stage. He did movies. He was on the radio. He had his own television show. I don't think there's any aspect of entertaining that he really didn't touch. He conducted concert orchestras. He tried a little bit of everything. He's a very talented man, and that comes across in his just by researching his career. And he definitely was a superstar.
And he was really very well liked by audiences in general as an entertainer and as a person.
Yes, he was. In fact, in England, I think his biggest following was in England. He had done several shows there, and anytime there was a Danny Kaye show in England, it was just sold out immediately.
Mm-hmm. He was he often had command performances for royalty.
Yes, he did.
In England.
In fact, the first vaudeville show that the king and queen went to was a Danny Kaye vaudeville show.
It was?
Yes, it was. In 48 or 49.
I was a Danny Kaye fan from his very first movie. The first film that he made was called Up in Arms.
Yes.
It was a military service comedy. And I saw that, and I loved all the trappings of Danny Kaye. He was kind of silly, but he was fun. He was very glib. He had that get-get-gettle, the patter that he had. And it was wonderful fun, and I remember I imitated Danny Kaye as a kid all the time. Drove my parents crazy.
Did you curl your hair?
No, I didn't curl my hair. Not then.
Okay.
And he had blonde hair, and I don't have blonde hair.
All right.
Not then.
Not yet.
Not yet. When your hair turns to silver, you'll have the richest head in town, as
right.
They say. Never mind. Anyway, Danny Kaye entertained me for many, many years, and I enjoyed all of his films. Now, I know you've seen a lot of the Danny Kaye movies, and one of the first questions I always ask you, Bob, when you come on our show, and you've been on regularly over many of the years that we've been on the air, of all the Danny Kaye movies, which is your favorite?
Well, I have to say that the one that I think really let Danny Kaye do everything that he was good at doing, dancing and singing and being silly, and it was The Court Jester.
Mm-hmm.
with Basil Rathbone as the villain. And there is just so many great little phrases in there, and Basil Rathbone was able to teach Danny Kaye how to fence. And as it turned out, Danny Kaye taught him a few things because he was so athletic and so well adapted to these things that he just turned around and gave Basil Rathbone a run for his money.
You mean in the preparation for filming?
Yes, in the preparation for filming. Yeah.
Rathbone knew how to fence.
Oh, yes, he was a master.
Uh-huh.
He was
Didn't he fence with Errol Flynn?
He taught Errol Flynn how to fence in the mid-30s for Captain Blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he did this. And he taught Tyrone Power for one of his movies. So through the years, he had done that. And as a matter of fact, in the movie, The Court Jester, there's a scene taken right out of Zorro from Tyrone Power where Basil Rathbone splits the candle in half.
Uh-huh.
Danny Kaye does six, but they don't fall. And Basil Rathbone goes, ha-ha, and then they all fall down. And ho-ho. So I mean, it's just from beginning to end, it's a fast-paced, very witty movie, and it has a great phrase in there, the pelt with the poison is in the vessel with the pestle. And the chalice with the pelt has the brew that's true, and so on, and it goes on.
They get it all mixed up with that, too, don't they?
There's two knights. Danny Kaye is a knight, and mm-hmm. Robert Middleton is the evil knight.
Uh-huh.
And he overhears that, and he's going, the vessel with the hessel and the true that's on you.
Well, wait a minute. Now, let's get it straight now.
The pelt with the poison is in the vessel with the pestle, and the chalice with the palace is the brew that is true.
The chalice with the palace, or there's, the chalice in the palace?
No, there's a chalice, a glass chalice with not a carving, but an image of a small palace on
uh-huh.
it, and that is the brew that is true.
Okay, the vessel with the pestle.
The pelt with the poison. Is in the vessel with the pestle.
The vessel with the pestle.
And the chalice with the palace is the brew that is true. Got it?
Don't ask any questions about that. We're going to check around. We got a lot of folks at the Museum of Broadcast Communications with us this afternoon as we're starting our show. And we're going to go around and ask questions about that later on.
Oh, quick
quiz.
You
can do that. Right, a quick quiz. The pestle with the vessel is in the palace by the chalice.
That's correct.
And the blue that is true...
Spilled on you.
Spilled on you, yeah. But that's one of the great comedy classic things from Danny Kaye of all time.
It is an excellent movie, and as I said, Danny Kaye dances in it, he sings in it, he acts silly. There's a couple scenes where he's hypnotized into believing he's the world's greatest lover, and a snap brings him out of it, and the princess and the king are arguing about something, they're snapping their fingers, and he goes from one personality to another, and his facial expressions are classic, because he's going from this bold lover to the meek little Danny Kaye character, and it's just really great.
The Court Jester, it's available on videotape,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. So I recommend it. It's a great family movie.
From what year?
About 1955.
55.
And it was a Paramount release, which to me means that it was well done, because Paramount was a great studio for comedy. They knew how to do it well. And also, it was advertised as the most expensive comedy movie made to date. It was budgeted at a little over $4 million.
The Court Jester was?
Yes.
My goodness, that's amazing.
It has the grandiose sets of the castles and so forth. It really was, you know, just well done from beginning to end.
Movie historian and fellow film fan Bob Kolasowski on WNIB in our Morton Grove studio on July 11, 1987. Bob is always a welcome guest on our program and a lot of fun, too. And it's always a lot of fun for me to reminisce with our announcer and permanent guest host, Ken Alexander. When Ken and I get into one of the old newspapers he brings to the studio, something in the paper strikes a familiar chord in each of us and we get slightly nostalgic. Slightly? Well, this time, an item from the front page of the Chicago Tribune from September the 18th, 1948, gets us going.
But the main story on page one, new phone dialing goes into effect.
New phone dialing?
Yeah. Chicago's new telephone dialing system went into effect this morning, and now each exchange has a numeral suffix, which is to be treated as part of the exchange name and must be dialed in place of the third letter. Dial calls now consist of two letters and five figures. Now, this sounds rather complicated, and the more I read, the more complicated it gets. But it was something people had to get used to.
Well, it used to be just you dial, let's say, Andover, right? A-N-D?
Yeah.
That was the prefix, Andover?
Yeah, that's right. And then four digits, four numbers.
And four numerals, But now it's going to be...
Andover 3, A-N-3.
And three. But the three would represent the D, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But in all... Well,
Not in every case.
No, it gets into that. But they make it sound pretty complicated. And it is at first, but now, of course, we don't...
What are they saying?
Well, it's easy to avoid mistakes. Here are some ways. One, don't assume that the new figure is the same position as the third letter of the exchange. In some cases, this is true, but in others, not. As a rule, if you are sure of the old number, you need only look on the cover of the new directory to see what figure has been assigned to that exchange. Except that, two, there are 10 exchanges which have been split in two. In these cases, the list on the cover of the directory gives two suffix numbers, and the correct number will have to be verified individually. At present, however, State and Normal are the only exchanges which have two suffix numbers. The eight others are expected to follow within a year.
State would be State...
State 1 or State 2, but there was all... because 2 is the same hole in the dial... as A, but there's also a State 1.
State 1.
So you had to be sure. We're talking about dials. The phones had rotary dials. We didn't have a keypad with the touch tone back then. And some phones didn't have dials at all.
The operator
asked the operator for your number, but you had to say State 1 or State 2. You just said State 1000. Which state do you want? Number 3, it says, when placing voice calls, always give the figure... Superior 70100 should be given as Superior 70100. This is the Tribune's general office number. 4. Do not dial three letters. Carelessness is likely to lead to the dialing of the three old letters plus all five figures. This will frequently give you a wrong number, in which case you will be charged with a call. And then five, don't call information unless you have to. Six, in a few cases, there are numbers with six figures. Most of these are in pay stations in crowded exchanges. They will be eliminated as soon as possible, but until then, they'll be dialed with two letters and six figures.
Hudson 3-2-700.
Seven, do not try to dial just because your telephone has dial equipment on it. Some dial equipment is not yet operative for outgoing calls. Only four new exchanges will have dial service effective today: Humboldt 6, Armitage 6, Brunswick 8, and Everglade 4. 11 other exchanges have been equipped with dials but will not be put in dial service until early next year. Oh, that's an old dial telephone.
Yeah.
Number eight, do not try to dial suburbs. Although several have been given new numbers conforming to Chicago system, they cannot be dialed, except that some Rogers Park subscribers already have been able to dial Evanston. Got that?
Yeah, I guess. I do remember when all this stuff was going on at post-war. 1948 is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
September the 18th.
Yeah.
We lived in Norridge, and it was, in fact, it was hardly Norridge at this time. It was an unincorporated area of Norwood Park Township, and we have a River Grove exchange, and our home phone number was River Grove 1641J.
Oh.
But you didn't dial that at all. You had to tell the operator that. Mm. And then we became a Gladstone number when you could dial, and it was Gladstone 3. And then later they changed it to 453.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, everybody who had Gladstone numbers, we were resisting that. It was like we'd protest and picket, but we didn't have much choice in that. Tuxedo 9.
Yeah.
That was Tuxedo 9. T-U-X, and then the X was the 9, became the 9 Tuxedo. Do you remember your home phone number way back out in?
It was Van Buren, 9672.
Van Buren, V-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
I guess it'd be VA6.
VA6.
9672. There are a lot of exchanges. Of course, later they eliminated all the exchange names altogether, and everything was given in numbers.
Numbers, you know.
Because there wouldn't be enough names. I mean, they'd have to duplicate. I mean, you could have any combination of numerals you wanted. 3, 5, 4,
yeah.
8. But you couldn't have a name beginning with QS or RT. You know, letters don't, the English language doesn't work that
didn't
way.
It didn't have to represent any name anyway.
No, I mean,
all the license plates.
No, but I mean, if they wanted to continue using names, they couldn't use all these combinations of letters because you couldn't find a name beginning with RT or...
Do you know that every story on television and in the movies, they have all the same exchange? It's 555?
Oh, is that
they use 555 all the time in it? That's an innocuous number that if you dial, you can't you won't connect with anybody. See, they're afraid to give you a real sounding number
people
for fear somebody has that, and then they're going to get the phone calls late at night asking to speak to somebody crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Yeah. Well, that was the way. That was a big story about.
That's a big telephone story.
More in the paper. Here's an ad by Illinois Bell. The telephone company about the new phone numbers. It says, it's C-Day. Your telephone number and 1,500,000 others have changed. And it tells all about the change in the phone numbers in Chicago, Evanston, and Winnetka. If you use a telephone without a dial, give the number to the operator like this, Aberdeen 4-0601. Remember that the new figures... they vary with different exchange names. It's anything from 1 to 9. Illinois Bell Telephone Company says, please listen for the dial tone before you dial. Many people didn't have a dial phone, or it was something new to them, and they'd have to listen for the dial tone.
Two radio guys in 2009 reminiscing about their old phone numbers from days gone by after finding a newspaper item about telephone number prefix changes and a new dialing system that went into effect in 1948. Those were the days. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Recollections at 50. There's more to come in the weeks to come. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening.